apply to your life as much as it is informative to you. We finally gave it the title of Commissions, Past, Present, and Future. We're starting out talking about the Kingdom Commission given to the 12 apostles. Eventually, we want to talk about not just our commission, but this interruption of the age of grace. I want you to be familiar with what transpired in the book of Acts as it goes from Israel to the Gentiles of the body of Christ. But then, if God interrupted that program, it's got to get initiated again. And so that's when we start talking about the future commission. And that's where we get into the 144,000 and all the things in the book of Revelation. You wonder, how does all that get started again after the rapture takes place? And it brings you all the way into the earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ. So that's what our subject matter is. And what we introduced last time, and really, the more I think about it, it was important 2 weeks ago that we just kind of laid out the Bible and basically showed how Israel's program centers around the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant. And there's more than that. There's the new covenant. There's actually five different covenants to Israel. But we looked at those two, the land promised to Abraham and the very fact that God would create a great nation out of Abraham, and through that nation all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Then he promised David that his seed, his throne, and his kingdom would be established forever. So initially there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ, but the forever goes on in the new heaven, new earth, and in that new earth, new Jerusalem that's going to be established on the earth where Jesus Christ will reign in the land promised to Abraham, on the throne promised to David forever. So we laid out that information, and that's important information to know to have any idea of what's going on in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. So take your Bibles and come to Matthew chapter 10. What we did last week, so 2 weeks ago we talked about how the Bible's laid out so that you just understand the very basic truth. And if you don't have the basic truth, you don't have the foundation to even study the Bible. But with that foundation laid, last time we talked about the different denominations and how they'll grab a hold of one of the commissions or some of the statements made to the 12 apostles concerning what I'm calling the Kingdom Commission. And the different denominations fight over what their commission is. They all believe that their commission comes from the gospel account of what the Lord commissioned the 12 apostles to do. But they vary, and I was telling you how the Baptists are different than the Pentecostal, and that's different from the Apostolic, and that's different from the Church of Christ, and that's different from the Catholic Church, and so they all pick one of the statements that are made to each one, and then we said what none of them have ever stopped to think about is maybe none of that is our commission, and our commission is found in what God revealed to the Apostle Paul and called Paul to do. That's our commission in the age of grace, and so what it is when we talked about that commission, I made the statement how they fight and they differ in those different statements. But years ago, when I would understand that those commissions are not ours, we still have to come to grips with the fact that there's six different commissions given to these 12 apostles. And each time it's revealed, in fact, I'll put this down for you now, and I'll put it down in this order. Today we're going to start the commission in Matthew 10, but this is just looking ahead. We'll eventually look at Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20. Now some of these we looked at last week just quickly, but we didn't look at all these. I knew I changed that order. So I said last week I told you the wrong order at the end of the class. Down again. Come on, Tom. Mark, Luke, X. There we go. C those six times the Lord Jesus Christ commissioned the 12 apostles, Matthew 10, Luke 24, Acts 1, John 20, Mark 16, Matthew 28. None of them say the same thing. So we can make fun of the other denominations, one who would pick this one, but maybe not this one, or the one who takes this one, but doesn't take this one, and Matthew 28, who doesn't take these. And we can make fun of them, but at the same time, if we don't have an answer of why they're different, then all we know is we're one step ahead of them in that we know none of these are our commission, but we have no idea why they're all different. What we're going to do in our studies on Wednesday is we're going to look at each one of those commissions, and what I call them, they're all the same. They're the same apostles being commissioned. They're all the kingdom commission, but when you look at them, you'll realize they're done in different phases. So what I call them, six phases of the kingdom commission. Today we're going to study phase one, and this is the order we're going to study them in. Luke is phase two, phase three, phase four, phase five, phase six. And when you see them in that way, not only do you see why they're different, you'll see in the timeline when they're carried out. And so that's what these studies are about. And like I say, they're more informative for you. And if you're going to tell someone that's not our commission, then you better explain what that commission is so they could see that it's not our commission and be able to explain our commission as well. So we eventually go through these six, and then we'll move into the age of grace. And then we'll move into learning some things about how that program is going to pick up again. So I have you in Matthew chapter 10. And we'll probably spend all of today on Matthew 10, but some of the others we'll be able to cover two in one study. And then I think I'm going to go slow through the first one because we can add a lot of detail that'll come up and it'd be helpful later on. So it's an important one to be here at. Matthew chapter 10. It says in verse 1, it says, "And when he had called unto him the 12 apostles, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So that's just to start to introduce this first commission. And one of the things that you see when I call it phase one, you see that here the Lord Jesus Christ is still on earth. He hasn't died yet. And during the earthly ministry, they're already commissioned to go out and preach. So it's obvious that this is phase one because it's carried out during the life of Jesus Christ. And so we start with this one. And there's some things said in this commission that gets expanded later on. But at this point, this would be phase one. They're told in verse 5, two places not to go. But when you get to verse 6, he says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So they're being told to go. Hold your place here. Come to Luke chapter 6. Now hold your place because I want to flip back and forth. Luke chapter 6. And verse 13, I'll read verse 12 with it. Luke 6:12 says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out unto the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles." So it looks like the sun came out. If someone wants to shut those curtains. But I want you to get interested, know the difference. Sometimes we call the disciples, maybe we'll say the 12 disciples, but he has more than 12 disciples. A disciple is one who's following the Lord Jesus Christ. But out of those 12, out of the disciples, he picks 12 men and he called them apostles. And so it starts giving the names that are here again, because what an apostle is, the definition of apostle is one who sent forth with a message. And here the Lord is going to send these apostles forward with a message. So if you come over to Luke chapter 9, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples." So when we say 12, now we know these are the ones that are apostles. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You might catch that phrase. They're going out to preach the kingdom of God, but and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither stave nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them." And they departed and went through the towns and preached the gospel and healing everywhere. So again, here he's going to send them. He sends them to go. And verse 6 says, "And they departed and went." So the Lord says, "Go," and they went and did what he said. Notice verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place and that belonged to the city called Bethsaida. So, is that Bethesda? Bethesda. I wanted you to see in verse 6, he sent them and they went, and in verse 10, they came back. Because when you read that over there in Matthew chapter 10, you don't have them going. You're kind of left wondering. In fact, Matthew chapter 10, if you look at that, the Lord begins to send them out in verse 5, telling them where not to go and then where to go. And then all the rest of that chapter is some instructions about them going. And that's what we're going to study, those instructions about them going. But then you never find out whether they went or not. For instance, if you got Matthew chapter 10 and then Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities." So it doesn't say they went and they came back. It's Luke that helps us to find out is that when the Lord finished these instructions, they went. And then they came back and they gave a report to the Lord Jesus Christ when they came back. But what you have in Matthew is he gave them the instruction, and in Matthew tells us in chapter 11 that he went to cities, in all the cities, and preached. And then if you look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, it says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethesda! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum." So what you have here in Matthew is he sends out the apostles, but he himself goes out, and you can see there's a rejection. That's the important part of Matthew chapter 11. He's rejected. It's Matthew 10 that they started saying that his miracles that he's doing, casting out devils, that he's doing it by Beelzebub, and the Lord starts warning them about the blasphemy about the Holy Ghost. So there's a rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you don't read in Matthew about the 12 going, and we're talking about their commissioning, and so I refer you to Luke where it does say that they went. And there is a difference between a disciple and an apostle who's one sent by God with a message. And so we're told in the beginning of this commission what it is that they're to go and do and say. So this is definitely the beginning of the commissioning of the 12 apostles back in chapter 10. And then we're told immediately in verse 5, after he names who the 12 are, it says, "These 12," Matthew 10:5, "Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." So keep in mind, I might throw these phrases out, like this is a pre-crucifixion commission. Mostly what I'll say is a post-resurrection commission. That's after he rises from the dead. There's more things that are going to be added to their commissioning. But certainly here, the Lord is ministering in the cities, and they're ministering, sent out to minister in the cities. And so we start out, this is the beginning of their commissioning. You're going to see how this expands as we go through this same chapter. So, but anyhow, this is the beginning of their ministry. And at the beginning of their ministry, they're not allowed to go to Gentiles in any city of Samaria. Now, a lot of times when we teach people who don't know anything about right division, we come to this passage to show them that if you were part of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, you wouldn't preach to a Gentile. Paul couldn't have a ministry here. You're not allowed to go to Gentiles, and you can't go to any city of the Samaritans. What I often wonder when I hear a grace preacher preaching that is, well, I know other commissions that are going to say more than that. And that wouldn't necessarily impress me because he says, here, don't go. Because later on, he's going to say, go beyond that. But at this point, it's important to realize at this point, in the beginning of their ministry, before Jesus Christ died, they're not going anywhere else, and it's explained in the next verse why that is. Verse 6 says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's going to start out, the 12 apostles' ministry is not to Gentiles, not even Samaritans, which we call them half-breeds. Samaria was the capital of Ephraim, was the 10 northern tribes that separated from the southern two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and that's where Samaria was, and that's where Assyria came and took the Israel off the land, brought into the land Gentiles, and so now the Gentiles and the Jews, way back from the Old Testament times, began to live together on the same land. So no, the people in the north mostly cannot trace their heritage, prove that they're fully Jews, and so the Jews, as it tells you in John chapter 4, had no dealings with the Samaritans. But there is going to be a time for that, but it's not at this time, because at this time, they're only to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, when you say the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the lost sheep is Israel was God's sheep, and they've gone astray. So they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They're calling Israel back to repentance, back to the promises of God. And so they're preaching to the lost sheep, that would be the Jews, of the house of Israel. And the house of Israel, you could name two things. Like, for instance, when God told David that he's going to preserve his house forever, that's a reference to the seed line of David. But I don't think we're talking about the seed, because the lost sheep, that is Israel. I think the reference to the house of Israel is the territory that the sheep are in. That the 12 apostles, they're not going to go to the Gentiles, so they're not going to go outside the land of Israel. They're not even going to go to Samaria, which is right in the middle of the nation of Israel, between Galilee and Judea, right in the middle of Samaria. They're not allowed to go there. So we're talking about the land that they're going to go to. So they're going to go only to the lost sheep of the house, the lost sheep, and only the lost sheep that are of the house of Israel. Now hold your place here, come to John chapter 10. Before I quote something, I want to make sure I was right. Yeah, I want to double check. In Matthew 15, don't have to go there, but when the Canaanite lady wanted the healing for her daughter, the Lord said that he didn't answer her. The disciples went to him and said, hey, make this lady go away. And he said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The point being that even the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry only went to the land of Israel. He didn't go outside that land. Now that's important, because what I'm about to read you in John chapter 10, if you look over in verse 15, let's start at verse 14, John 10:14. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one foal and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. Now that verse 16, a lot of times people, knowing that eventually Paul's going to go to the Gentiles, will actually say, well, there's a reference in the book of John about going to the Gentiles, other sheep that are not of the fold. But the other sheep that are not of the fold, if you understand what the lost sheep of the house of Israel is, there's another fold. That means Jews that are outside the land of Israel. Every time he talks about sheep, we're talking about the nation of Israel. So he has other sheep that are not in the land, as eventually they're going to go and get those Jews outside the land of Israel and bring them in, and there'll be one shepherd and one fold. They're going to bring them together again. Jews have been, when you understand the Old Testament, they've been scattered. Assyria scattered them, the northern 10 tribes. Then Babylon scattered the southern 2 tribes. And even though there was a remnant that came back to the land, it's only been a remnant. And you know that even to this day, that there's probably more Jews in New York than there is in Israel. Because they're still scattered. So I just wanted you to understand that the 12 apostles, the early part of their ministry, they're only to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, within that land of Israel, and exclude out of that land Samaria and Gentiles who might be around there. So they're only sent to them, and the Lord does have other sheep. When he goes on to say about that he lays down his life for his sheep, he says in verse 18 of John 10, "No man taketh it from me, his life, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to lay down his life for his sheep. Anyhow, there's other things in John 10. I better skip it. So that's the reference of the other sheep outside the fold, but that's not at this time in their ministry. In Matthew chapter 10, they're only to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So go back to Matthew chapter 10. Well, what you have in verses 6 through 15, they're going to be told what to preach, what to do, what to provide. So Matthew 10 and verse 6, it says, Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's where to go. And as you go, preach. Now here's what they're to preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember Luke said they were going to preach the gospel of God? That's God's good news to the nation of Israel. That the kingdom that God promised them, that throne of David, is at hand. It's near. It's at hand because the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth. It says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received and freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, so don't take money with you, that's what Luke said, nor scrip for your journey, neither 2 coats, neither shoes nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city you or town ye shall enter, inquire who is worthy, and there abide till ye go. Go thence. So it's interesting. They go into a city. They're not bringing any money, no food, no extra clothing. They didn't pack a bag. They don't take any money with them. They go, and then whoever's worthy, they enter that house. But it's not like, well, I'll keep them for 2 days, and you keep them for the other 2 days. No, whatever house they go and stay until it's time to leave that city. Verse 12 says, and when you come unto a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And we kind of pick that up also out of Luke when, or No, it was Matthew 10, when the Lord started upbraiding those cities that rejected. There's a hint of it even here when they go. So they're to go, they're to preach, they're where to go, and then they're to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And that is the good news of the kingdom. And depending on where you are, I was asked a question, and it's a question that I feel that I've really made known here at the church. And person didn't know it, so I explain it again, but it was another person standing off the side goes, "Oh, I never saw that." And I'm thinking, yeah, you say things and there's different times that you're ready to receive it. So I realize how repetition is important for learning something. The teacher always gets more than the student does. But not on that subject, but this subject. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again this week. If you come to Matthew chapter 4, if you ever want to show someone what is the gospel of the kingdom, these two verses, just nail it right down. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand.'" Now, repent is a change of mind. Israel was not thinking God's going to fulfill his promises to David and to Abraham. And so they needed to change their mind because that kingdom of heaven was at hand. The kingdom of heaven is God's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. We were talking about that this week as well. The book of Daniel, it says, it names all the Gentile powers, and then the last Gentile power is going to be destroyed by the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming down from heaven. And it says, "The days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed." Well, the God of heaven is Jesus Christ coming from heaven to set up a kingdom on this earth that are never going to be destroyed. He's going to sit on the throne of David in the land promised to Abraham forever. So the Lord is saying, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he preaches, he says, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand." Then in verse 23, it says, "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." So when he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, what is he saying? He's saying, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand." That's the gospel of the kingdom. That's why you put those two verses together and you understand exactly what they're preaching, and that's exactly what the 12 apostles are sent out to go and preach, saying the kingdom of heaven's at hand. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's why I call it a kingdom commission. And it starts even during the earthly ministry of Christ, as they're going to pick up preaching. They're being sent to the cities and to preach that same message. They're not only told what to preach, but they're told what to do. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 says, "Go ye, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye received, freely give." So he sent them out with some power to go and to be able to do the things that he's doing. It's important to realize that, if we were to read a little bit more even in Matthew chapter 4, is that closely associated with the gospel of the kingdom is demons being cast out, because what is it, Zechariah 10 says there'll be no more evil spirits in the land when he sets up that kingdom. When he sets up that kingdom, there's not going in his kingdom, there's not going to be any sickness. And so when they're preaching that message, they're demonstrating that the goodness of that kingdom, why it's good news, it's at hand, because they're going to be able to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, which no one could cleanse leprosy, raise the dead. I scratch my head thinking, you got all these Pentecostal people that are always trying to heal the sick, right? When do they ever have a raising of the dead meeting? Do they have a funeral and say, "Now, before we have this funeral, why don't we raise this guy from the dead?" They never do that. It's every place you read, it's right there. It just as easy as healing someone who was sick, they could raise the dead. And, we're talking about taking different commissions. Well, some here take different part of this commission, want to do one, but don't even think about doing the other. And that's just how people study the Bible. And their mind ought to say there's something wrong here, because the kingdom of heaven's not at hand today. That's why people aren't realizing all the kingdom commission has been postponed until God brings the kingdom program back into effect. Right now, God's doing something different today. And in this age of grace, it's called long-suffering. But the point is the healing. Now, I got a bunch of verses about healing associated with the kingdom. if I get bogged down, we're not going to finish this. Let's look at a couple anyhow. Deuteronomy chapter 7. See, I'm doing this for your sake. When they're preaching this message, they're giving this ability because it's part of the message. It's part of the good news of that kingdom. It goes all the way back here, Deuteronomy chapter 7. It says in verse 6, it says, the Lord, you know, verse 1, it talks about them coming out of Egypt, they're going to conquer the lands. We're talking about the nation of Israel. So when verse 6 says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you or choose you because ye were more in number than the people than any people, for ye were fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." So Israel, the Lord always makes them realize, you're not special. I just put my love upon you, and I'm going to keep the oath that I promised your fathers. So he brings them out of that land. Drop down to verse 12. It says, "Wherefore it shall come to pass that if ye hearken unto these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. He will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, the corn, the wine, thine oil, thine increase of thy kind, the flocks, thy sheep, in the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you, nor among your cattle. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt upon which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." I mean, real clear what the Lord's talking about here. Israel is going to be blessed. They're going to be above all the nations. No barren person. Everybody's going to be able to have children, multiply children. Nobody is going to be barren at all. And they're going to be blessed. And among all that blessing, all sicknesses are going to be taken away. You know, I go through sometimes the Gospels, how it says that the Lord healed everyone. He went into all the cities and they brought into all that were sick and he healed them. Well, if they brought all that's sick and he healed them, or if he goes into a city and he healed everyone, do you realize when he left that city, they couldn't find a sick person in the city? Now that's what's going on there, because the promise is he's going to take away all their sickness. That's the good news about the kingdom. And come over to Isaiah chapter 33 first. Now, see, that's promised in Deuteronomy. We come over to Isaiah, because now Isaiah is a prophet saying that God's going to accomplish what he had promised. So this is a prediction about the future, even about some judgment they're going to face first. Isaiah 33, and by the way, it's Isaiah 34. That the Lord quotes, no, it's not, it's Isaiah 35, that the Lord quotes about John the Baptist and seeing him healing so that John would know he is the Messiah. Anyhow, chapter 33 and verse 5, it says, "The cup is exalted, for the Lord dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of the times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." So you see here that God is promising a time in which Israel is going to be blessed. Verse 17 says, "Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land, that it is very fair." So the Lord's going to come back. They're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to them. Verse 22, it says, "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. The tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mask, and that is, he's destroying the enemies that come against them. They could not spread the sail. This is the prey of the great spoil. Divide the lame, take the prey. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return, set up his kingdom. The enemies are going to be destroyed, and no one in that land is going to say, I'm sick. They're all going to be healed. Now you got the same thing that goes on in Isaiah chapter 65 and so forth. So when the apostles are being sent out in Matthew 10, preaching that gospel of the kingdom, they're not only preaching it, but they're doing what the kingdom is going to be like. They're healing and casting out devils and cleansing the leper and so forth. And then they're told what to supply and to provide when they go. And the idea of they're not to bring anything with them. So the men who would take Matthew chapter 10 and start to think that that is their commission today, that means when they go to do preaching somewhere, they shouldn't pack a suitcase. They shouldn't freely receive, freely give. Don't take up in a collection, no money. Just go there and find someone to stay with and stay with them until you're done and then leave and don't bring anything else with you because the Lord's going to provide for you. So that's what they're told to do in their commission. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 now. They're told what to expect. It says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they shall scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, and for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they shall deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So they're told what to expect when they go. They're going to run into a lot of trouble when they go. They're going to be delivered to councils. They're going to be delivered before kings. They're going to be scourged in synagogues. And when they're put in the synagogues and they go to speak, it's not going to be them that's going to speak. God's going to speak through. The Spirit of God is going to speak through them. Well, immediately you start realizing that this phase one doesn't just stick to the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. They don't get the Holy Spirit until Acts chapter 2. And the events they're describing here are things that are going to take place here. So this phase one is not just limited to this time. It's just where to start and who to go to and what to say at first. And then it continues out to talk about the things that they're going to experience in early Acts. For instance, let's hold your place here. Come to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, in verse 3, Peter healed a man, and it's causing a commotion, so that in chapter 4, verse 3, and they lay their hands on them and put hold on them and the next day for it was now eventide. So the next day comes, in verse 5, it says, And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest, and it names all the different people that are rulers in the nation of Israel, and they set them in the midst and asked, By what power and by what name have ye done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. So just like the Lord said, they're going to deliver you up to the council. Other places it said they're brought before the council. Here are the rulers of the people. And eventually those rulers try to turn them over. In chapter 12, Peter gets turned over to Herod. James is killed by him, but the point is the things that are being said here in early Acts, they're brought before the rulers, they're scourged back in chapter 5 after they're brought before the council. The council gets a little bit more desperate because they can't shut their mouth, and they actually beat them before they let them go, and they walk out just praising God that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. my point to you is, I got all those verses, but I don't think we really have to go through them all, is what they're told to expect in Matthew chapter 10 does happen exactly like they said in the early Acts period. So that commission is really not just limited, that's where to begin and how to begin, but it's not limited there. So go back to Matthew chapter 10. In verse 21, it says, "And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." So, a couple things I want you to get there. He that endures the end shall be saved. Saved from what? Well, remember verse 15? "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Save from the judgment, and which we know is eventually is hell, and being cast into hell. So here there's going to be, not only are they going to be hated of all men, but there's going to be the families divided. But the point of verse 22 is, "He that endures the end, the same shall be saved." Well, they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So what begins over here continues in early Acts, and certainly they're being hated in early Acts, but it even goes beyond that, because those that hear that message, that heed the warning of the Apostle Paul, or the 12 apostles in that kingdom program, that they are going to have to endure to the end. Now, there's going to be a time I should actually just erase grace so it's not showing up, because the point is what continues here continues through this time, and he that endures to the end are going to be saved in that kingdom. Now, so they're told what to expect, and then they're also told about how far they're going to get. Look at verse 23. "But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." So here he's getting them started. They even get started here. Tells them what they're going to expect even later. He doesn't say after his resurrection, but we know it happens here. And the people who hear him will listen to that message. They're going to have to endure to the end to be saved into the kingdom. But as far as how far the apostles are going to get in their lifetime, it says, "But ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come." Now, I've always had a problem with like the King James there. Become what? You know, we put the "be come" as one word, but that's not what it is. "Until the Son of Man be come." And it's funny because it always bothered me in that verse. So I started searching other verses where it's at. I got a whole list of them here. Here's a couple. Just listen to this. We quote these quite often. Romans 11:25, concerning the age of grace. It says, "I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." I must just say, come. Because I didn't realize the word "be" was there. Be come in. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "If therefore the whole church be come together in one place." Be come together. And you begin to realize when you look at a whole list that the word "be" has to do with present. Like "be," it didn't say when they come together, when they "be" come together. That means when they've arrived, that they come. So that's exactly how to understand that verse 23, that they won't go over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come, till he's here. He'll be here, become, not coming, but be here. And so we're told how far they're going to get in their commission. Now, I want to show you that. Come over with me to Acts chapter 8. Now, we'll get a lot of details in Acts later on, but in verse 1, it says, "And Saul was yet consenting was, no, and Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen. They just killed him, and Saul consented unto it. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the apostles, here in Acts chapter 8, there's persecution going on in Jerusalem, and people are fleeing, but the apostles aren't about to leave. Now, we'll learn more about Jerusalem later on, but the point is that we're looking at the fact that it said you're not going to get through the cities of Israel till the Son of Man becomes, till he's here. And when you look at the Acts record, there they are, and they're not leaving Jerusalem. Down in verse 5 it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So there comes a time when they're allowed to go to Samaria. And when he goes there, the apostles go there. Verse 25 says, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, that's Peter and John, by the way, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, the Samaria is part of the land of Israel, but when they first can go, they can't go to Samaria. But during this Acts time, by the time you come to Acts chapter 8, they do go to the cities of Samaria. But that's still the land of Israel, the cities of Israel, when they go to Samaria. If you come over to chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus is now converted. And the dialogue goes, or the narrative goes, from Saul being saved to picking up with Peter in chapter 9, verse 32. And notice that verse. And it says, and it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down to the saints which dwelt at Lydia. So that's the western seaboard. But what I want you to catch is, and it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters. He covered the whole land. If you divide Israel into quarters, Peter, at this point, has gone through the different areas of Israel, the land of Israel, and then there's some things that are going to take place in Lydia, Joppa, Caesarea, and so forth in this passage. But you see the movement here of where he's going and what he is doing. And then you come over all the way to chapter 15. Because this is the end, you won't read about the apostles in the book of Acts after this point. But one of the last things you see is that when people went from Judea up to where Paul's ministry is among the Gentiles and tried to tell Gentiles they had to be circumcised to be saved. It says, verse 2, and when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them, which we know as Titus, should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. Where are the apostles in Acts chapter 15? They're still in Jerusalem. They've gone throughout the cities of Israel, but they're not done, but they haven't expanded past that. So that as their life is concerned, as their ministry, as they're carrying out this ministry, he said, you won't finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man become. So you realize where that commission begins, and my whole point is, when I used to read Matthew 10, I used to get stuck in verse 6 there, where they're only going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, they're not going to Gentiles or Samaria, but that's only during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. After that, they expand out, and yet the Lord says, you won't finish going over the land, the cities of Israel till the Lord comes back. So that's the first part that I would call phase one of their commission, with some insight that it's longer. They that endure the end, the same shall be saved. So phase one covers the whole commission of them, but just tells them where to begin and how to start. As we study others, we're going to be able, especially the order that I have them here, you'll see that the information will pick up from this information and expand the information as we go. And that's why eventually we'll be able to take a couple each time that we do this and see how they're going to carry out their commission. But I want you to get familiar with that. So anyhow, that's good enough for Matthew chapter 10. And we jumped in and out of there, but you do get an idea of what their commission, what their message is, and why it's called a kingdom commission. And that's just the beginning. So there's five other parts where the Lord is going to give them instruction, and we'll study that. Not next week, but the weeks that follow after that. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you that we can look closer at a passage of Scripture like this, and we got to be careful if we're going to tell people that that's not for us. We should understand who it's for and what it's about. So I pray just the little bit of information that we gave just makes it a little bit clearer on what the apostles were preaching, where they were going, even how far they were going to get, and how it all centers around the promises made to the fathers. So, Father, we thank you that you're a God that keeps promises, and that when we begin to understand what you've accomplished in the age of grace, what you saved us for, how you saved us, that your word is true, and our hope is steadfast and sure. So we thank you for being able to study the Bible and know these things and be fully persuaded. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.